Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. And therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask now you open our hearts and minds, clear away all the distractions of the world and of the day, so that we might see clearly and rightly what you have for us in the scriptures today. I pray, Father, for protection from error, that you guard our hearts and minds from misstatements or whatever. Father, that your spirit would speak to us this truth and help us to understand. Lord, we love you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've been discussing worship, this has been going on for quite a while. We are particularly looking at our corporate worship. And we've had lots and lots of background in this and have come to the point now where we have begun to speak about how we stimulate one another. This is the portion of the scripture that we're looking at. we're not forsaking, verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together. Verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And so last week we talked much about how we are stimulated first to love, right? So this is an intentional action. It's an intentional work within the heart of the believer to be stimulated towards love. And that love begins with the love of the Father. The love of the Father. Why are you here today? Do you love Jesus? Have you, as we spoke of in Sunday school, have you considered the weight of your sin? Have you considered the glory of Christ? We mentioned, too, we see the gospel as the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ. See, the gospel is not how you clean you up. The gospel is how God has made you new, alive, together with Christ. How he has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. How he has given his grace to you. That then draws us to love him. As John says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of the living God. It is the highest honor in all of creation to be a child of God. Does that then stimulate us to love him? How do we do that? Well, we obey him, right? We saw that from 1 John chapter 5. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Our love for him is inseparable from our service to him. So, we want to stimulate each other to be obedient to God, obedient to his word. Then we love our neighbors. We're stimulated not only to the love of God, but the love of our neighbor. And you can't rightly love your neighbor without loving God. It will be frustrating to try to do so. Apart from God, apart from his spirit that dwells in you, that moves you, that motivates you, it will be frustrating. As Jesus loved us, we're to love one another, right? So that was the first part of loving our neighbor, was loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love one another. Jesus said, this is the commandment that I give you, that you love one another. And so I want to stimulate you to love each other. And all that goes into that, accepting one another, just as God has accepted you in Christ Jesus. You need to accept each other, and that's literally guts, feathers, and all. In our failures. Now, we're not condoning sin, we're not condoning weakness in those senses, but I recognize that you too are a fallen creature, that you too bear the spirit and still struggle in this flesh. None of us are perfect. All of us have issues. We got guts. We got feathers. But we accept one another in that sense. We encourage each other and stimulate each other towards love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." It's in our spiritual DNA. The fruit of the Spirit, when you think about that from Galatians chapter 5, what is the first of the fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Love. And in Romans, Paul says God has poured out His love into our hearts through His Spirit. And so we have that love within us. The question is, will we employ that love? Will we cultivate that love? I might not be your favorite person. You might not like the stuff I do. You may not care about hunting and fishing. You may not care about the farm lifestyle. You might not care about any of those things, but you can still love me, and I can still love you. Our differences should not drive us apart. Our differences are simply opportunities to be complementary to each other, to accept each other. And so we are stimulating each other to love. How do I stimulate you to love God? How do I stimulate you to love one another? Well, we have fellowships together. You know what else? We have study time in the Scriptures together. We spend time together. What happened in the early church in Acts chapter 2? How often were they spending time together? Anybody know? Daily. Acts 2, verse 42, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Continually. Do we see a continual need for our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? Or, I'm doing my own thing, and I just go to church. Those are two different things. I genuinely need the fellowship of the saints. I not only desire it, I need the encouragement that I receive from my brothers and sisters. I need the accountability that I receive from my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I want to encourage you today to love one another, be devoted to one another, to spend time together. It's important that the body of Christ spend time together. And I would suggest to you, it's more than just on Sunday morning. And granted, the body of Christ is the body of Christ. It is the church universal, right? So it's not necessarily that we're all coming and sitting in here, but you're engaging your other brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the week, throughout the rest of your life. We don't compartmentalize a religious part of our life from the work part of our life or the play part of our life. Christ is our life. And so we are bound together by His Spirit. And we long to be together. Do you want to see each other? I mean, for real. Do you want to see each other? Do you miss when you're out and you can't be here? Is there something that's yearning Is there something that's lacking in your week because you didn't get to see your brothers and sisters? Is there something there that's real? Or, I mean, can you just take us or leave us? That's not the spirit of the Christ. The vine doesn't say to the branches, go do your own thing. We need to be in the vine. We need the vine. He is our everything. And to go off and do life apart from the vine on my own is not acceptable. So I want to encourage you. I want to stimulate you to love one another because we are the body of Christ. In that same sense, we will stimulate one another to love the world. Now, be careful with that one. Because John says, don't love the world or anything in the world. Because all of that stuff's passing away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life. All of that's passing away. That's not the love of the world that we're talking about. What we're talking about is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That love. Do you have that love for a world outside of these four walls, on the other side of those doors, that is lost? People who are entering eternity at any moment. And you might say, well, you know, within the sovereignty of God, He knows who are His, and He is bringing all those to Christ, and we recognize that. But you know what? The first commandment, or last commandment Jesus gave, in Matthew chapter 28, is to go make disciples. Do you care about the world out there? Enough to be obedient to the commandment of Christ of going and making disciples, telling people about Jesus, sharing the gospel? As Peter says, being ready at any moment to give an account of the hope that dwells within you. What do you do when you encounter friends or you come into a room and somebody's there and they go, man, you look like you're having a good week. What's going on? Because you're so chipper and cheery, right? And smiling and got that little tune that you're humming. Is that the reality for you? Well, how do you answer that question? You realize what that question is? That question is, why do you have hope? Why is there joy in your heart? You see what's happening there? What do we typically say? Well, the other shoe hadn't fallen yet, so I'm good, I guess. It's been all right, you know. Or it's been a horrible week, man. You just don't know. Are you ready to give an account of the hope that dwells within you? It might have been a horrible week. But my joy does not hinge on my circumstances. My circumstances don't dictate my response. I can still have a joy even in the middle of hardship. And when things are good, I'm not walking around going, man, I got it going on now. I'm walking around with thanksgiving in my heart. But even when it's hard, I'm walking around with thanksgiving in my heart. Why? How can you live that way? Are you able to give an account of that hope that dwells within you? Man, God has been so gracious to me. Or are we afraid to have those conversations? He has blessed me, and I'm not talking about the house and the car and the bank accounts and all of that stuff. I'm talking about He has forgiven my sin. He has cleansed me. We made a confession today, didn't we? What did you confess today? Anybody, y'all know what you confess on Sunday morning? Anybody pay attention to what you confess?
That Jesus is Lord.
He's Lord, that's right. What else? Why is it important that He died?
We're sinners.
Because we're sinners. We need a Savior. We need someone to die in our place, don't we? We need somebody who would descend down from heaven, because we couldn't go to heaven. We need somebody who was alive. He was crucified, dead, and buried. We needed that, right? But we also need somebody who was raised again on the third day, don't we? I mean, this confession that we make, that's not just rote recitation. If it is, I mean, you got the good out of it when you said it. That's it. Is that our lives? Am I looking for an opportunity to tell people of the goodness of God in the land of the living? Am I looking for opportunities to express His glory? Because see, that's worship, right? That's worship. It's praise, the words of our lips that speak praise to His name. And it's not some superficial, willy-nilly, prosperity gospel, God is so good. It's a reality that God is good. And I'm not. And He has made a way to bridge that infinite gap that I had with the Father. And He's good. And now, I don't bear my own righteousness. I'm not good in my own strength. The goodness that you see has been wrought in God. It's John chapter 3. The one that comes to the light wants all of those deep, dark corners of our hearts illuminated so that everybody will see and know that all of this stuff has been wrought in God. See, that's your testimony. Man, how come you always smile? Do we ever get accused of that? Or do we get accused, man, that guy, he's got a sourpuss look on his face every time I see him. He goes down there to that church. I don't know what that preacher's preaching, but it ain't good, apparently. You see what I'm saying? Our demeanor, how we present to the world. And I'm not talking about some superficial mumbo jumbo. I'm talking about a reality. Fruit of the Spirit that's born of the Spirit that flows out of us. We studied this in Sunday school. Jesus said, look, you're going to know them by their fruit. Do you see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Do you see all of those things growing in you? Do you see those things being expressed more and more in your life? Not because the preacher said, I got to show more love. So I'm going to... No, because you genuinely are loving the people around you. This is important. This is important. And I want to stimulate you. How do I stimulate you to be, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of Christ compels us or controls us. Are you compelled and controlled? Is your day-to-day life compelled and controlled by the love of Christ? The conversations that I have are intentional because He has loved me and now I love people around me. See, that's your ministry. That's your work. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God's reconciled us to Himself and He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We become ambassadors of God, Paul says in verse 20, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And see, we got a lot of folks in our lives that their lives are, it's all hit the fan, man. You know what I'm talking about. They're in dire straits. What do those conversations look like? Do we recognize that God, man, they need to be reconciled to God? They've lived lives that some have lived lives that have brought a consequence that they're having to deal with. Do we recognize that? Do we have the discernment to know that God's at work in somebody? And we can talk with them and share with them this good news of a risen Savior. So how then is the body of Christ stimulated to love our neighbors who are in the world? By sharing this good news. Sharing the gospel. I want to encourage you, and I will challenge you today as the pastor, the preacher, whatever you want to call me, go. Get out of these doors and share the gospel, the good news of why your life is different. Hopefully you're different, right? If you're not, you're not going to have that conversation. Why are you different at work? You don't talk like the other folks talk. You're not interested in sharing in the gossip. You're not interested in telling the dirty jokes, the off-color jokes. You're not interested in the running down other people. What your interest is in seeing the good in our God and how He's been gracious and merciful to us and how we can share that with other people. So we're stimulated to love of the Father, love of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then love of the people in the world around us. But we're also stimulating each other to good deeds. Good deeds. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." I don't want people to see the stuff that I do and go, "Man, he is such a good guy." If that happens in our lives, we have missed the point. What we want is for folks to see the deeds that have been done in my life and go, "Man, God is good." See, y'all don't know me. Y'all don't know me from Adam's house cat. All you know of me is what you've seen in the last couple of years. You don't know who I was to know how good God is. Again, in John chapter 3, Jesus says, "Look, I want the people who have come to the light, they want people to see that the good that's been done in them has been wrought in God. It's been worked out by God. He did it, not me. Not me." So I want to stimulate all of the folks around in the body of Christ to these good works. Paul tells Titus, "It's a trustworthy statement concerning these things. I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds." When you come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, it is the most natural thing in the world for you to begin to engage in good deeds. That should be the norm. You have a desire to do good things. In the past, when you were lost, you didn't know what good was. But now, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and a view of the Father and eyes fixed on Jesus, you can see the good. And then you can begin to do good deeds. It should be a natural desire to do good deeds. I want to do good for other people, not just for myself. That should be the natural desire of the believer. I don't come to Jesus and then y'all gonna just do everything for me the way I want to, when I want it. We come to Christ, and those deeds might be simple, they might be small in our eyes, but they are good, and our desire is to begin to do those good deeds. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, "Let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. So part of you loving your brothers and sisters in Christ and accepting them and all of those things is doing good for them. Doing good. The verse that we read this morning as our call to worship in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do you see your brothers and sisters in here as more important than your own self? Now see, I've dealt with this at work. And I have tried to use biblical principles in my workplace. And I got to be honest with you, God's faithful to that. It's crazy. It is crazy. But when I have employees who consider that they are more important than other employees, it always causes problems. Because nobody can live up to that. But when we consider other people's needs as more important than our own, then good comes from that. That's a workplace thing. That's a biblical principle, though. With humility of mind, so I'm not going to stand here and tell you how humble I am, but there's an attitude, a thought process that's humility. With humility of mind, I want to regard each one of you as more important than myself. And I'm not going to merely look out for my own interest. Now, that's an interesting phrase. Sometimes people get this wrong. Paul does not say, do not look out for your own interests. Paul says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests. In other words, there's not points where I just absolutely don't even think about what I need. But I'm not just thinking about what I need, what I want. But there's a ton of folks that's the consuming thought of their life, is their own personal interest. That flies in the face of humility. And that adjoins itself to pride. So I'm not going to consider myself. I'm going to have an attitude that's the same attitude that Christ had, who emptied himself. I mean, you think about this. The Creator God of the universe, who is greater than His creation, didn't think of that as something to be held on to. Jesus looked at fallen men. He looked at those chosen by God and said, you know what? I got a job to do. I'm going to do that job. And He did. He became flesh just like us. How do I stimulate you to good works today? What is it going to take for us to bear one another's burdens, to forgive one another? That's a huge part of loving each other. If the body of Christ does not exemplify forgiveness and grace and mercy towards each other, the world will never see it. The world will never see it. What happens when somebody offends you? How do we respond? Now look, I'm not saying they didn't hurt you. That's not what I'm saying. Sometimes the pain is very real. But is that going to define my life? No. Or am I going to be able to forgive? To look beyond that. Consider them as more important than myself. Or am I going to hang on to that? Allow that root of bitterness to grow and fester. See, that's not loving each other. That's not stimulating one another to good deeds. I want to stimulate you to good deeds. It is stinking hard to live together in love and grace. Because you're going to have to be very forgiving. But that's what we're called to be. A part of our worship is loving one another, but also stimulating one another to these good deeds. I don't want you to be a bump on a log. Sit here, bless me if you can. I want to stimulate you. I want to encourage you to do good, not by man's standards, but by God's. Father, we